I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Check it out now. October 12, 2023, it is the Beating the Book podcast, week number six in the National Football League. It's Gil Alexander. It was going swimmingly well for me the first 4 weeks of the season, and I just got curb stomped in week five. We'll get into all that. Really appreciate everybody listening week after week. We'll try to do better next week. I don't know. Maybe Will or Todd did well last week. I don't know. He says immediately. Two staples of the show. That was the voice of Will Hill at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, who is not only part of the Megapod, but also, of course, Bear Bets Pod, both college and football versions with Chris Felica. How you doing, Will? You didn't have a good week either?
1-2. Yeah, won Pittsburgh, which honestly, I mean, they were getting 4.5 and probably even lucky to cover that, even though they'd probably won and then lost the last two. And just ready for this week, ready to turn a corner here.
Bro, not only was I 0-3 on this show, I was 0-5 in Circa Millions. Like, nothing went my way. Todd, how'd you do? How you doing? Todd Wishnev, everybody, from his mom's Cork Attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hi. Terrible week.
You had a terrible week, too?
It's been a terrible week in gambling. It's been a terrible week in life. It's just been a terrible week, period.
Yeah. Todd and I are compartmentalizing is what we're doing. World events have seeped into our worlds as well. Okay, and our rotating guests, we are always thrilled with our rotating guests, but I always learn something when Rufus is on the show. Rufus Peabody and Jeff Ma were kind enough to have me on Bet the Process, their podcast this week. We did a little bit of an exchange program. And maybe we should have had, I just learned, maybe we should have had Rufus on next week because it's both Rufus and Todd's birthday a week from today. So happy birthday in advance to Rufus Peabody, everybody. How you doing, Rufus?
I'm good. I think I beat you guys for last week in terms of how bad it was. Not only did I go 0-5 in one Circa Millions, I went 0-5 in all five Circa Millions entries.
Wow.
And that was across seven picks. So I went 0-7.
Okay.
And three of my four, well, six of my eight Survivor entries got knocked out as well. So.
Oh, I'm done in Survivor. I had the Commanders. Yeah.
And the
but
Orioles.
Here's who we like this week.
And the Orioles lost, he said, which Rufus is a fan. Rufus is a big fan of the Orioles. And I'll say it again. Rufus and I are both fans of the Orioles because we are too young to be Senators fans, too old to be Nationals fans. That's the sort of pocket of Washingtonians that we are. So we grew up as Orioles fans. What did you say, Will? What's the Survivor play this week?
Oh, no. We were all talking about how much we lost, and I said, but here's who we like this week.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, it's only 1 week, right? We did fine the first 4 weeks. Yeah. So, wait, let me ask you a question before we get off that then. Do you think there's anything, first of all, were all of your entries in Millions the same picks, or were they different picks?
Second Millions, I had seven different picks that I spread it around. The funny thing is, like, one of the picks I went Packers to be contrarian, just given the fact that I thought the line had moved towards the Raiders. So if people were entering, they were getting a lot of closing line value on the Raiders side. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go Packers here, even though my numbers didn't like it.
Yeah.
To differentiate, and even that one lost. So
yeah, they should have won. And I think just Jordan Love just became so impatient on that last drive.
I was rooting for it to lose though, Gil, because at that point,
Booby,
being like 0-4 on most of these for the week, like I'm already screwed for the contest.
Right.
And this is week one of Q2, or last week was week one of the second quarter
season.
And there's the booby prize for the worst entry. So now I have five entries at 0-5. Like,
yeah.
I am sitting pretty.
You are sitting pretty. But here, so I have two questions. One about that, because I'm also 0-5, but you have multiple entries at 0-5. Are you so good at this that you can now strategize to win the quarter booby, which is, by the way, a 5-week booby. We don't even get that break, right? It's a 5-week booby. Are you that good that you think you can now tailor it to win that?
You know, I don't know anything, Gil.
Yeah.
That's basically what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down. But, okay, so that's the bigger question. So many of these games, which we'll get to, I think the difference between going 0-5 and, say, 3-2 is paper thin. There's moments in each of these games that our brains tend to purge that if 1 yard is gained on a 4th-and-1, like on a high leverage play, that was the case in multiple games, the whole thing shifts. And like we think, oh, Cincinnati crushed Arizona. It was probably the right side. But if Arizona converts a 4th-and-1 late in the third, they probably take the lead. If Derrick Henry can convert a 4th-and-1 against Indianapolis, maybe the Titans end up winning that game. So there's a bunch of that. The bigger question is this. We all did poorly this week. Do you think there's any reason for that? Was there something about that week specifically?
Were we all on the same games? That would make sense.
What were you on?
Let's see. Bills?
I was not on the Bills. Either of you guys Rams? On the Bills? I was on the Rams.
Bills? Well, so Bills, oh. Titans, and Ravens were my survivors, and Dolphins. So 2 entries on each of those. I was 2 of the 4 entries in Circus Survivor on the Titans, which was like, I loved the leverage I had there, but it didn't work out.
Well, okay. Let's see.
What else was I on, though? I was on, I said Rams, Bills. Now I'm like, blank. I'm repressing this. If you tell me a game, I'll tell you
okay.
if I was on.
I'll tell you what I was on. I was on the Rams. I was on the Titans. I was on the Texans, which, again, they lost on the last drive also. I was on, now I forgot too, Rams, Titans, Texans. I'll look it
we're
up here.
Both on the Cardinals.
Both on the Cardinals.
I'm gonna pull up my week 5 doc.
We were all on the Cardinals. That's for sure.
I was on the Cowboys.
Oh, I was on the Ravens. I was on the Ravens. I got -3.5 early in the week.
So that to me is the most brutal, maybe the most brutal loss of the year in any game. Because he just had so many drops and in the end zone too.
This just always seems to happen in the Steelers Ravens games, right?
People love that. You know what I also had? I had the I did have the Bills. Check that. I had the Bills, Texans, Titans, Cardinals, and Rams. They all lost. About Survivor too. I just want a pick. I just got to say this again because I keep hearing this. So I had started with 5 entries in Survivor. I got 1 knocked out each of the first 3 weeks. Broncos, Jags. So I had 2 left going into this past week. And because the 2 that I had left happened to be, just by luck, bad luck, the chalky ones. So the one that I had, Washington week 1, the Giants week 2, that got knocked out by the Jaguars week 3. So because the 2 that I had left had identical picks, and it was Chalk McChalkerson, it was like Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, San Francisco, just the 2 that I had saved for just the most brain-dead plays, I decided going into last week, well, I can't play Miami or Detroit. At some point, I have to, like, gain some power ranking to these entries. I decided, well, I'm going to take the Commanders, knowing what the possible pitfalls of that was. It's so interesting to hear people who played either Detroit or Miami say, yeah, good thing we didn't get cute with Washington. It's not about getting cute. It's not like the people who took Washington, or at least in this case me, I'll say, didn't know that there was perils to doing that. It's that if you keep going chalk, 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 chalkity chalk, you're losing anyway. And the object is not to survive. The object is to win. Does that resonate with anybody? Like, am I right, Rufus, about that?
100%, but I think you're wrong because Washington was chalk last week. At least I have them.
You would have gone even friskier.
I mean, that's why I went like...
Okay.
I've basically modeled out like ownership, for lack of a better word, based on previous weeks of Circus Survivor, and it's actually been quite accurate. Like the week before that, I had modeled San Francisco as having, I think, 50-something% ownership, and they ended up being 48%. I was like, there's no way it's going to be that high.
Yeah.
But I'm factoring in like future value, including like is Christmas, is the short Thanksgiving week, and then the game money line and future value basically by like a market power rating. And so like I thought Washington, I mean, the only thing is they were a Thursday game, but I had Detroit at about 50%, Washington in the low 20s, then Miami at 11%, and everybody else was in the 1% or less range.
Yeah.
And so I was like given that, like going Baltimore, Buffalo, Tennessee kind of made sense. Like I'd rather, I know Baltimore, let's say, was like 65% to win. You know, I'd rather go with the 65% that's 1% owned than the 80% that's 50% owned or 40% owned, whatever it is.
Sure, that's right. I did the last thing about this because I don't want to belabor, but I did I remember, and I apologize to Jeff Parlay in advance, but when Jeff was my producer on a numbers game, there was a Thanksgiving. I want to say this was last year or the year before, I think.
2 years ago with the Raiders, I know.
Exactly 2 years ago, that's right. So I did a thought exercise. Jeff was my producer, and I said, Jeff, let's say there were 100 people left in Survivor. The Cowboys were big favorites over the Raiders that day. And I said, and you knew that 99 of the 100 people were going to take the Cowboys. Would you take the Raiders? And he goes, I can't do it. I go, Jeff, how many times in your life will you get a one shot at $6 million? You've got to take the... So that's what you're trying to overcome in people's minds. Like it's this... we're wired to want to survive. That ain't the game. That ain't the game. Got to win. And you got to be okay with letting it go. Anyway.
Well, I think in Circa Survivor, it isn't... Like, the chalk is much more a function of how bad the team is as well than I think other Survivor contests. Because when I've seen like projected ownership for like Yahoo and stuff like that, it's very different than what I've gotten on.
I've seen that too.
From using Circa, and yeah, it's very different from what it's actually come in on Circa as well. So yeah, like the week everybody at Jacksonville against the Texans and they lost, right? I mean, that's why I thought Washington was going to be so highly owned this week. Well, the people that still had Washington left after a lot of people used them week one.
Yeah. By the way, just to put this into context, Circa Survivor started out with 9,267 entries at one entry, at $1,000 an entry. So 1,000 a pop. So $9.267 million of that starting group. We are 5 weeks in. And 80%+ have been knocked out. Last year at this time, 88%+ had been knocked out, where there's over 6,000 last year. So there's 1,836 entries left. And the other way to contextualize that is the first year of Circa Survivor, it only started with 15. So you still have more entries than existed to begin the first Circa Survivor a few years ago. So still a long way to go. The intrinsic value of each remaining is over $5,000 currently, if you do it that way as well.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Todd, was there any in-game thing you wanted to talk about? We can pass if there isn't.
No, not really. I just think the in-game is in the NFL, they're getting really, really much smarter in pricing these games. I kind of got lucky.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that, both in college and in pros this year, especially like, you know, in the old days in college, or at least even up until last year, big dogs that were winning like 7-0 or 10-0 or something, it would still be significant dogs. So like if they were like, say, plus 22 pregame, all of a sudden they're down, they're up 10-0. They would still be, you know, plus 13, plus 14. You know, they'd still be a high number. Now they're just jamming that thing way down right away. So that like it's almost like they're seeing, hey, this dog might win this game earlier than they used to. That's one thing I've noticed a lot. Really? In the NFL, they're getting much better at the middle 4 minute, beginning 4 minute of the second half issue about the double possessions. They're getting a lot better at pricing that. You know, you could notice that in the Minnesota Viking KC game, where the Vikings were getting five still in the late in the first half. So I just think they're getting much more sophisticated on the pricing. Is going to make it harder and harder to win in game as they get better and better at pricing. And, you know, I'm sure there'll still be little inefficiencies here and there, but I do think that the pricing gods of the in game are getting tighter and smarter.
That's interesting because the middle four, right, going into the half, if that was a good edge. And so if that's going by the wayside, that kind of sucks. And maybe it is. Maybe the algorithm changed in some way. The first one, though, is I'm more curious about, because do you really think the algorithm has changed? Like if you're a 14 point favorite and you fall behind,
I do think it's changed. Wow. I really do.
Okay.
They don't just do it. You know, it used to be they did everything off the pregame numbers.
Yeah.
And that was that.
Yeah, it's all derivative.
And so, it was all just like, okay, well, team's a 21-point favorite, you know, and then they would have like different rules about if one team was ahead versus the other team being ahead and stuff like that. Maybe I'm wrong. To me, it seems like wow, at this point in time, last couple years, like let's say early second quarter, and a dog was hanging in there, you would get so much more juice. And now you have to almost time it perfectly in order to, I don't know. It just seems to me, maybe other people who disagree with me, I seem to think that they're getting much more sophisticated.
Rufus, do you do a lot of in-game?
I do no in-game, Gil.
You do no in-game? None?
None.
None. Rufus is like, I live in New York. I got things to do. It's like, I got a life here. Have you noticed that, Will, at all? That's interesting to me. Okay. That's something to monitor, because that will suck. That sucks bad, you know?
Yeah, and I'm big into the college basketball, so hopefully I think there's still some edges there, so hopefully they
are. Well, let's pretend that they don't even – that sport exists, hopefully.
Let's hope nobody's listening. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Let me rephrase that. In case anyone's listening, college basketball is perfectly lined in terms of the live betting, and they should change nothing.
That's right. It's perfect. Before we do best bets, does anybody have a thought? Maybe it's one of your best bets on this Thursday night game tonight. The Chiefs are 10.5-point favorites hosting the Broncos. 15 to 30 mile per hour winds are expected. That's a pretty large range, by the way. But 15 is sort of the point that most folks will tell you. Above that, it starts to be to affect a football game in terms of the passing game. I got nothing pre-flop. Any of you have anything pre-flop in this?
I do like the under. I will make it one of my bets, too. I think it's about 47 is the consensus number.
Yeah,
47.
I'll go under 47. I just think, like you mentioned, with the wind, I just think Kansas City is not as good on offense as people think, and they're a little better on defense than people think. I think Denver probably just try to run the ball, keep this game close. Division game usually breeds a little more familiarity, closer, lower scoring game. I was tempted to actually take Denver here, but I don't know that I have the appetite to do that. But I will go under 47. I think it'll be hard to get to 48 points with these two teams.
I think I will have 1 7/8 eyes on the baseball game and like only a quarter of an eye on this football game, because I am so heavily invested in this Phillies over Astros exacta that I am just like, come on, Phillies, knock them out.
The other thing that I wanted to mention about the in-game is be extremely cautious in taking these teams that are up big to continue to score team total wise. If you're betting team total over, a good example last night was New Mexico State. I had them over 31.5. They had 27 points at the half, and they finished with 27 points. Now, in the NFL, that's even more exaggerated. So if a team gets up, 31-7, they're not looking to score in the second half. So all they're looking to do is get first down, run clock. So people say, this team's got 31 points in the first half. I only have to go over, say, 41.5. They're for sure going to get 10.5 points in the second half or 9.5 points in the second half. No, they're not. First of all, late in the game, they're not trying to score at all. Even the Dolphins, who had that blowout game against Denver, which was very weird, in the Giants game, stopped trying to score in the fourth quarter. So you basically only have one quarter to score. And even then, they're just playing ball control. So just and that, of course, also goes for the total in the game as well on an in-game. You have to be very careful because these teams that can move the ball in the first half up and down the field are not looking to score in the second half.
Todd Wishnev on in-game betting. Okay. Ready for some?
Oh, it turns out I did have a Chiefs bet, but it was bet on Monday morning under 51 and 50 and a half.
Oh, there you go. Oh. All right. Did you blanket a bunch of wind related games like a lot of people did for Sunday as well?
There were games that looked good weather wise. Yeah.
What other unders do you have right now that look pretty good Sunday that are no longer available to any of us?
I don't know if they're available. I think we liked Bears under as well.
Yeah. That's
it. Seems like the Bears thing is crushing down. I just would hesitate to play that because the Bears and Vikings is like if this was played in a normal setting, it would be an over festival.
Yeah.
Because the Bears have no defense. The Vikings have no defense. They're just purely offensive team.
That one's gone from 48.5 to 43.5.
I think that's partially weather, partially Jefferson too. Jefferson
is out as well. By the way, how funny was it when Jim Nance, I know, Will, you saw this too. Was it the Minnesota game where they were, they needed a Hail Mary? Who did Minnesota play last week again? I already forgot.
It was the Chiefs. It was 4th and 15.
Oh, yeah.
Threw it in the corner.
They were down
and
7.
The guy got pass interference. And then they picked up the flag. And then they told the guy to put his helmet back on so he doesn't get a penalty in order to fuck me on my +5. Pardon my language. In order to screw me. On my Minnesota +5, I apologize for
that's all right.
Hands to the face on the Chiefs.
There was also hands to the face. That's right. You got screwed three ways is what you got. Anyway, not what I was going to say, but what I was going to, but that is true. That was another screwing. But the they were down 7, and Jim Nance started waxing about, this is the birthplace of the Hail Mary. Like, he was, like, almost pushing Tony Romo aside. Like, forget the fact that it was outdoor, right, at Metropolitan Stadium where it's, like, an ice bowl, and Roger Staubach hit Drew Hill in 1975. But he's, like, going, is this the birthplace of the Hail Mary and all this? And then Cousins never got off the pass. He just got wrapped up. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal bit of broadcasting. All right. Best bets. Sides and totals. Rufus, we start with you. What's your number one, sir?
So I don't have a lot of good bets this week.
None of us do. Yeah.
Also, I mean, after hearing about my 0-7 in Circumillions last week, I don't know how much you'd want to actually listen to me. But but the bet that I like the most is Tampa Bay. +3/+3.5. It looks like you can get a +3.5 -115 at Caesars. And that, I believe, is... I mean, there's a few. +3.5, -120 at Circa.
I'm seeing enough +3.5s. Yeah.
+3, +105 available at Bet Online. Like, so, I mean, it's. I would say it's a solid 3.25.
Mm-hmm.
I make Tampa a slight favorite. This is one like where I've been kind of high on Tampa all year. I mean, I think that Baker Mayfield is a little bit of a better quarterback than people. Thought it's interesting how a guy can be like the number one overall pick and all these expectations are heaped upon him, and then he just goes to garbage bin so quickly and people are like, oh, he's trash. And he was on a bad Carolina team last year. He played well in McVay's offense, and Tampa also, I mean, Tampa still had the defense, has the a lot of the pieces from the defense of last year. And so just because, I mean, I think people thought they were going to be really, really bad. And I thought they'd be an average team this year. And they've been, they've basically been an average team, maybe slightly better. So this is mostly just the fact that my priors still are higher on Tampa. Or I'm higher on Tampa because my priors are higher on them than other people.
When do the priors slough off entirely?
No, I mean, they never slough off entirely. They just getting.
What are we at right now? Less than 50%?
You know, I don't know, because it's there's priors for different things. Okay. So quarterback is different than the rest of the offense, is different than defense.
I see. So okay.
I can't give you a percentage on each. Like, it's
okay.
It would take me like 2 hours to try to like come up, like through the code to find that.
No, let me just ask it broadly. Do you have a sense of which lasts the longest though? Which of those categories lasts the longest? Like, does quarterback last the shortest or the longest?
I think quarterback in general is going to last the longest.
Okay. It's interesting.
Quarterback, yeah.
By the way, Aaron Schatz, I had Aaron Schatz on from FTN, the creator of Football Outsiders and DVOA, which we had him on the Megapod a couple weeks ago, but I had him on the radio side this morning. We're going through his current DVOA rankings, and he has San Francisco, no surprise, number one. He has Buffalo, number two. And then he has a big drop-off to three and a big drop-off down to four. Guess who the number three team is? Any
Detroit.
Guess? Detroit, exactly. The Detroit Lions, which I thought was interesting.
By the way, on the quarterback thing, I mean, like, yeah. Think about the priors on Joe Burrow versus what he's done so far this season. Granted, he has been kind of hobbled, but
sure,
we don't think Joe Burrow is suddenly going to be a bad quarterback going forward, do we?
No, we do not. We do not. Dodd, what's your number?
By the way, I agree with what Rufus said about Tampa Bay's defense. I think Tampa Bay's defense has been overlooked a lot. I think they've been outstanding. They played great against the Saints. They held the Eagles down a bit. I mean, Tampa Bay's defense, I think, is a lot more of the story than just Baker Mayfield. But anyways, my pick will be my first pick is going to be what you guys were just talking about. I'm going to take Cincinnati -2.5. You know, obviously, we've all seen Cincinnati struggle this year. Last week, it seemed like the offense came back. Now, maybe you say, oh, it's just against Arizona. They scored 34 points. But, you know, they played decently enough to beat the Rams pretty, not handily, but decently. I think they're starting to slough off whatever that real bad hangover looked like early in the season. So 2.5 points is kind of low. You know, to me, I mean, Cincinnati's at home. Seattle is not that good. I know they won 21-3 against the Giants, but that was mostly because there was no time for Daniel Jones to do absolutely anything in that game. And Seattle's offense really didn't do a whole hell of a lot. It was mostly just, you know, pick sixes and fumbles and all kind of nonsense that even got them to 21 points. So I'm not, you know, I'm not sold on Seattle that all of a sudden they're going on the road and they should only be getting 2.5 points at Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati just played the Rams and beat them. They were up 19-9. They gave up the backdoor touchdown. But they're similar teams, the Rams and Seattle. So, you know, Cincinnati -2.5.
I'm going to step in. I'm Oppo you. I'm taking Seattle plus the 2.5. By the way, let me just say my three picks here is mainly going through all the others and saying, well, I want no part of that. Well, I can't bet that. I can't bet. So it's kind of like three by default. I think I like Seattle here because, A, extra rest here for the Seahawks in this ball game. I like that. And as I mentioned earlier, I know, you know, Cincinnati ended up beating Arizona by 14. But it just, if you watch that game and you really were being honest with yourself, Cincinnati, like, they could have been down headed into the fourth quarter in that ball game. And I actually think Arizona played with them until they just sort of gassed out at the end of that game. I like Seattle. I'd like them to be able to control the football in a way here that can dictate the tempo of this game. You're giving me points. I mean, to me, this is sort of a coin flip game. You're giving me points. I got extra rest. I don't think Burrow is 100% yet. He did. I mean, look, Ja'Marr Chase was open all day. But he got so much of that offense that it almost worries me about the Bengals. You know, that if you can somehow figure out a way to tamp him down, then what do you do? With injuries, obviously, or elsewhere on the wide receiving corps. So I like Seattle +2.5. We're Oppo, baby. Oppo.
Okay.
Gil, I lean with you there, too.
Well, thank you very much. Now we're more than Oppo against you, Todd.
Now I'm really good shit.
Now you're
when you get
the trouble.
When you get multiple people on one side, it's a bad thing. So that's good. Well, please jump in. On
our bet percentage now is this a reverse line move?
Yeah.
With the bet percentage thing going on, we got two on one here. So
I don't want to.
Todd's side must be good as long as he's betting more money than we are.
Will, any comments? No, nothing.
I don't want to comment. Nobody left after last week.
All right, Will. What do you?
I might jump in on this game later. This is me.
Yeah, it's you.
I'm with Todd. Cincinnati -2.5.
Okay, go ahead.
Now there's no sharp side.
Wow.
I'm with
there's no signaling of a sharp side. That's right.
There's not a lot of signaling going on. I just think, look, I had Arizona last week too, and to me the whole handicap was, hey, Burrow's not healthy, but he looked healthy, and if he's going to be healthy, I know these calves can be finicky, and if he's not healthy, I'm in some trouble this week, but thought he looked better. I don't trust the Seattle team to travel, so just going to repeat a lot of what Todd said. I think this is a little cheap here at the 2.5. At 3.5, I'd stay away, but 2.5, I could see Cincy winning this game.
Okay. I think that might be
the Bengals.
That might be the first time in history we've had two against two, even though Rufus is not an official. So, but that's interesting. Okay. I was supposed to snake here anyway, so it's my turn. And this is going to be like the chalkiest, squarest thing in the world.
But Miami Dolphins.
Yes. I'm taking the Miami Dolphins, and I'm laying, I can still lay 13 and a half, right? Yes. So
it's still 13 and a half.
I'm laying the 13 and a half. And here's again, as a guy who had Carolina as the last winless team, my only bet in that market had hit at 15-1. This comes down to, again, for me, it was I got crushed on the NFL draft this year. First time ever losing on the NFL draft. I just couldn't believe the Houston Texans were going to draft this little munchkin who is a great kid. But like, I just don't think it's going that. I didn't think it would. I don't think they'd ever trade up to draft him. We're finding out now officially that there was a chasm in their front office versus the coaches of who they wanted. I thought they would draft C.J. Stroud. So far through five games, that's looking pretty good in terms of what I thought, even though it got crushed in the draft. I don't think Carolina's good on either side of the ball. And here's the real reason that I'm willing to lay these 13 and a half, though. And I get it. Achane is out now. He's on injured reserve. But the Dolphins are one of those offenses. Dr. Bob used to call them bullies. The Dolphins, to me, are a team that is going to destroy teams that are worse than them. And they're going to get popped in the mouth by teams that are as good or better than them. And I think this offense can just name their score against Carolina. And I, if you're not going to go to the Rich House, is there a Rich House, by the way? Laying 13 and a half in NFL games. But this is one of these matchups where I'm willing to do it. That's my second.
The Rams, they're like the Rams from the, what was that team called? With
Greatest Show on Turf.
Greatest Show on Turf.
No. Supposedly, I saw something on Twitter. They've got similar statistics.
They beat them. They exceeded their yardage total through five games. They actually did it with one quarter remaining last week through five weeks.
Different era. I mean, it's the only team that looks like a college game. You know, when you look at college games, a guy throws the ball and the guy's wide open by like 15 yards, and you're just like, oh my God, this team's going to score a million points. You don't see that in NFL games. NFL games, you hit a bomb. It's because a guy is like these guys are wide open. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, when a guy runs 22 miles per hour down the field like Tyreek does, and they just have speed everywhere, it's incredible. They asked Mike McDonald. Is that his name? Mike McDonald, yeah. Why'd you sign Chase Claypool? Mike McDaniel, sorry. What did I say? McDonald? Michael McDonald? The Doobie Brothers? Yeah, I'm going to be there.
No respect for Yale guys, huh?
Yeah, he's a Yale guy. That's right, Mike McDaniel. He said, you really want to know the truth? He's like, speed. This is Al Davis's dream team right here. He would come out of the grave and own this team if he could.
I saw one of the next-gen stats. It was like the 10 fastest ball carriers of the year, like on top speed, and it was Hill, Achane Hill. It was like 9 of the 10, and nobody even – Waddle wasn't even listed. Like, Waddle's pretty damn fast, too.
It's an embarrassment
of riches in terms of the speed.
Incredible. So, anyway, I'm laying it. We'll see what happens. Will.
Will already did his Cincinnati minus 2.5.
No, but that was it. But we're already going backwards now. So it's his second.
His first pick was under 47 Kansas City.
So it's you, Dodd. Sorry.
Yeah.
Dodd.
My second pick is going to be Arizona plus 7. I know James Conner's out, and that's fine. I think the Rams are a typical middle of the road, 9-8, 8-9 kind of NFL team. They're pretty good on offense. I don't think they're very good on defense at all. They were up 23-0 in that Colts game, and they let the Colts back in the game. Last week, they played well for one half against the Eagles. They played okay against Cincinnati for a little while. But they're just mediocre. And Arizona,
wow,
yeah, they're mediocre too. And Arizona, they are what they are. They're scrappy. They're trying to stay in games. Like you said, they were hanging around even in that Bengals game. The Rams don't have a home field advantage, and as we know, Arizona travels very well, especially to Los Angeles. No, I'm just kidding about that.
They don't really do it.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. But it's actually not that far. But I just think Arizona plus 7. I just think these are mediocre NFL teams. When you're going to give me 7 points in an NFL game that's just mediocre versus mediocre, I'll take the 7.
Rufus.
I wonder if Rufus.
You got.
I was just going to add an important piece of commentary. I wonder if the Rams want any revenge for what Arizona did to the Dodgers this week in baseball. I wonder if there's an element
cross sport revenge spot.
Yeah,
I love cross people sport. Who love spots.
I love the cross sport revenge spot.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Rufus, you get two here. We're snaking. What do you got?
Oh, I get two. I'm going to hold my breath and I'm going to take the Jets +7.
Ooh.
I think. I mean, they still have. The vaunted defense, which hasn't actually been as good, and maybe that's just because they're disheartened because of Aaron Rodgers being out and the fact that they have to play defense and watch Zach Wilson when they're not playing defense. But I mean Wilson was a lot better last week against Kansas City. I didn't watch the game because I was I didn't watch like any of the games last week, Gil, which is probably good. I was watching the Orioles lose in person instead.
Yeah, I'm more. I got to tell you, it is for October. I find myself way more excited about baseball playoffs than I do right now about regular season NFL games. Also, from a betting standpoint, like the Plinko nature of these games just makes it just like, what are we doing?
Hasn't been an overly great product. I think that's fair.
So that's the bigger thing, yeah. Right? Because we expect to win here eventually, long term. But yes, the product, like that week five, I know we were losing too, but the games were so bad. So bad.
Well, I think it's the endless four-yard pass to get to second and six, and then the endless three-yard run to get to third and two. It's just not very exciting. Sorry, Rufus, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's also there are no real dominant teams. It feels like most teams are like middle of the pack this year, and anybody can beat anybody on a given week. You have teams like Dallas losing at home to, or I don't remember if it was at home, I think to Arizona, and then, and then coming and crushing somebody, I forget, and then who they beat, and then getting crushed by San Francisco. And it's like if you try to make sense of it like that, it's anything can happen each week. And
yeah.
Like Jacksonville getting blown out by Houston and then beating the Bills.
It is so.
And by the way, they earned that win against the Bills.
Yeah,
they didn't. That was not a fluke at all.
Well,
Jaguars beat the ball.
Unless you think, and we talked about this a little bit on Bet the Process, Rufus and Jeff's podcast. Unless you think that the Bills just managed the travel so poorly that they were just like jet lagged for the first quarter and a half of that damn game.
They're playing a game at 9 a.m. like local time or something, right? Or not local time, but 9 a.m. on their body clock time. If they traveled like a day or two before, that seems kind of short-sighted.
By the way, Baltimore traveled this week. So there's a London game. It's in Tottenham this week. Baltimore traveled on Monday to London. I know that because my buddy Owen on the practice squad, my little buddy Owen, he's like, we're leaving tomorrow. So I'm like, wow, you're going Monday. Tennessee's going to tonight. They haven't gone yet. So, I mean, maybe we're all stupid for not just immediately auto-betting Baltimore, but I guarantee you if I bet any Titans game, I'm going to be on the wrong side of it. So I'm not.
Baltimore left at halftime of the Steelers game, I think.
Brumpum. By the way, Will Hill with the great call last night in that baseball game. Can I share this, Will? So the Diamondbacks are busy hitting four solo shots off Lance Lynn in the second inning last night. And so, you know, as soon as like the third one hit, you're like, what the fuck is that? This is unbelievable. And then who was Moreno was the fourth one?
Who could keep track? I think so.
So he hits one down the right field line. And you could see the guys in the Dodgers bullpen, but they're like, no, it wasn't a homer. They called it initially a home run. They're like, no, it was to the right of the foul pole. And so then they reversed it. And Will text right at that moment goes, why are they doing that? He's just going to hit another one out. Why are they wasting their time? And sure enough, next pitch, gone. It's unbelievable.
Lance Lynn did that a lot this year. If you watch, I watch a lot of Lance Lynn games this year. He had like games where he was great. He had other games where he'd be good for three innings, then give up three homers, and then be good again. He had this weird homer penchant this year. It was a tremendous amount of like multi-homer innings against him.
Yeah, but that
was a
insane.
Funny threat too.
He's a homer-prone pitcher. That's what homer-prone pitchers do.
Yeah. Do they give up four in an inning though? Homer-prone pitchers. I mean, Max Scherzer is a homer-prone pitcher too, but like four.
Because
we were
texting back and forth, y'all. Like, is that a quick hook for Lynn?
Wait. Oh yeah. What did you say? You said Dave Roberts took him out. He goes early hook.
Quick hook there. Only four homers in elimination game.
Early hook from Roberts. Anyway,
they never scored again.
Rufus, we keep interrupting you. I'm sorry. Apologies.
No, I mean, I'm on the Jets +7, and I think that that they still. I mean, I still am high enough on their defense. Like, I make the game. Let's see. Now I even lost. I lost my place on it. I make the game 5.4, so it's not a huge edge or anything like that. But it is an edge, and hopefully Zach Wilson maybe has a little confidence back. I don't know.
The maybe. Eagles haven't been overwhelming either. It's not like the Eagles are crushing people. I mean, they almost lost to Washington.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that for a second. They are and they're not, right? We had Eric Eager on, Dr. Eric Eager from Super Sports, and he was making a great, you know, passionate speech about how really the best team the Eagles beat last year was the Lions, week one, because everybody, like, it was Cooper Rush playing for Dallas when they beat them. Obviously, San Francisco had the spate of injuries in the playoff game. And then he was saying how if you look at, you know, if you go one by one in these games, and he's right, like, Washington probably should have beaten. Terry McLaurin was in bounds, by the way, and Ron Rivera might have gone for two at the end, but none of those things happened, right? So they beat Washington. And then even the Tampa game, which is the one game that they won by a lot heading into last week, it was tight till the end of the second quarter. And so he was making the case. He doesn't think Jalen Hurts looks as fast. Then you watch these Eagles games, and even though the score is not gaudy, they control the fucking football, like, in a way that is so, like, those tuchus bushes, right, that they do, that extend drives. It's just like they had an 8-minute drive. I know they didn't crush. Who did they play last week again? They didn't crush whoever they played.
Rams
on the scoreboard. But in essence, when you watched it, they did crush them. So, like, I have a hard time.
They're what the Dallas offense wants to be.
Right. And Dallas, don't you think Dallas is like the exact same team they always are? Like, oh, all these players, they're supposed to be good, and they're the same shit.
Well, you have Mike McCarthy calling plays, yeah. So they're a little bit worse than they were last year because of that.
Here's the thing with Philly. You got to keep them out of 3rd and 4, because if you get them to 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, they're going to do the tush push twice in a row. Like, now they're at the point where I think last week they did it twice in a row. Like, this is going to be a thing now. Like, it's hard to keep a team out of 3rd and 4.
It's unfair.
And yeah. Yep, I think they were faking there with Tampa. Yep.
Hey, Will, by the way, it's Tuchus Bush. Can we get that right, by the way?
I apologize. Yeah. Yes.
Sounds better when you say it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
How about just TP?
TP. Do you?
It's the Giddish podcast.
Not to belabor this, because we've talked about it before on the Megapod, but the conclusion we came to is there's three things, right? Aaron Schatz put this out well. He goes, should Philly be banned from doing it? No. Should other teams try to do it and perfect it like they do? Yes. Those things aren't the real question. The real question is, should they change the rules to allow the defense to push each other back? That's what needs to happen, right? Because it's unfair.
I actually think they should outlaw it. I think they shall. It's just such a boring play.
Interesting. A boring play. So you want to adjudicate against boredom. That's what you're saying.
Time ain't the point. It's like the extra point where it's automatic. Yeah.
See, right, but if they change the rules, then it wouldn't be automatic. They allowed the defense to push too.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was
then
a
it becomes
time,
like
by the way,
a glorified tug of war type situation, right?
That's what it reminds you of, right? A little tug of war, a little battle of the net.
By the way, there was, if you guys remember, there was at least a couple of years back, they changed the rule that you were not allowed to do this like 5 years ago.
Oh, you weren't?
Well, you used to not be able to push people, right? I always thought that was brutal.
Oh, that's right. Because the Reggie Bush, even on the college level, right? The Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart thing against Notre Dame, right? That's
and
right.
They changed the rule to allow you to do it.
Well, good on the Eagles for taking advantage of it. But, yeah, you got to be able to push back.
I agree with that. But
what part do you agree with? Which part?
Good on the Eagles. Hey, they found a glitch, and they're just exposing it. But I do think, as a viewer, it's not great. I do think the league probably looks into this. I thought they got rid of it last year, so who knows?
By the way, Todd, you're old enough to remember. Do you remember Battle of the Network Stars when they used to do a tug of war on that thing?
Dude, there's always a little clips on that Super 70 sports guy. I was just watching Robert Urich dunking Catherine Bach from Dukes of Hazzard, and Howard Cosell goes, Kathy Bach up there with her teddy bear. She isn't sure. Oh, into the tank.
Kathy Bach was famous for she was Daisy Dukes. She used to wear it. Right. Now we call those shorts Daisy Dukes. Yeah.
I have no idea what you old people are talking about.
Yeah, there used to be when there was only back in our day, Rufus, when there was only three channels in the world, NBC, CBS, and ABC, they used to take the primetime stars of all their shows and they used to like pit them in all these in all these athletic events. And you'd have like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a name. Robert Conrad.
Yeah. Robert Conrad against Gabe Kaplan in the 400-meter dash.
And they'd been, like, in each other's faces at the end, like, arguing. And Cosell, they actually rolled Cosell out to do the commentary.
He's fantastic.
He's fantastic.
He But, and then at the end, they would have the tug of war, and he'd be like, Ed Asner, just holding it together for the CBS.
Ed Asner. So great.
Valerie Bertinelli doing it all.
Valerie Bertinelli. I just saw that on TikTok, ran into this one where Al Michaels was describing the first time he met Bob Costas. It was at some game, and he was introducing somebody, and Cosell came from behind Al Michaels, and Bob Costas, a young Bob Costas, meeting Cosell for the first time, said, Howard, Bob Costas, NBC, it's a pleasure to meet you. And Cosell takes the cigar out of his mouth, takes the cigar out of his mouth and goes, I know who you are. You're the child that rhapsodizes about the infield fly rule. <It's> phenomenal. The child that rhapsodizes about the infield.
Howard Cosell was such a great piece of sports announcing that we'll never really see again because they'll never allow.
Never. The first, The first Hearns-Leonard fight, which to me is the greatest fight I've ever seen in my life. There's a moment in there where he's just like, shifting tides ebb and flow. When have you seen a fight like this? It's just like, just people like that. No one's describing his. By the way, I just want to say this. When you watch Costas do baseball now, I used to love Bob Costas doing baseball. And now I feel like he's such a throwback and we've all become acclimated to a different way of broadcasting that his is almost annoying now. And I feel like it's unfair to him because he was so great back then. Does anybody else have that with Costas?
I never thought he was as good on announcing as he was in like studio. But Rufus, how old are you that you don't have a Howard Cosell? How old are you?
I know who Howard Cosell is.
Rufus is 23 years old. 23 years.
37.
Old.
Now, how old are you?
Yeah.
Are you 37?
37.
Oh, okay. That makes sense that you wouldn't know Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah.
Wow. Me and you are getting really old, Gil.
We are getting so fucking old.
It's time to be sent to the nursing home.
To the nursing home. All right, where are we again? Where are we?
It's Rufus again.
Rufus, third.
Oh, I picked Jets plus seven. Oh, yeah, you my third?
Third one, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to change my mind here and go to Baltimore minus four.
He did it. Travel.
So I make the number minus 5.6 without the travel stuff, and I do believe in that travel stuff a little bit.
Yeah, I do too.
In terms of giving your body time to acclimate. And so,
by the way,
I did not know that Baltimore was going early and Tennessee was not until now. So I think that puts me over the edge.
I bullied Rufus into a pick. No, that's my third also. I am doing that because of not only the travel, but apparently John Harbaugh has planned this travel schedule for years. Because apparently they had a game in London at some point in the past, and they botched it, and it has stuck in his craw all these years. So apparently in the summertime, he like made sure he had some, you know, hack who did their itinerary with the NFL, that this was going to be their plan. So he's thought about this in advance. And by the way, Baltimore should be 5-0. The two games they lost, Pittsburgh this past week, which was just an abomination of drop passes. And then
saying the Yinzers didn't deserve it?
The Yinzers did not deserve it. Would you like to say something about that?
No, I can't. I'm just too bad mood, but go ahead.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and the other one was what, that Indianapolis overtime game where they had the ball once in plus territory in overtime, and the other time at like their own 47, and they three and outed on both, and then the refs didn't throw a flag. They should be 5-0. I'm taking Baltimore. That's it. I don't care. I'm going against Tennessee. See what happens. Baltimore minus 4.5. Dodd, what's your last one?
I actually had Titans written down, but now I'm not going to do it. You guys scared the crap out of me.
Baltimore's totally winning by 3 now. I'm guaranteeing it's going to happen.
I mean, I was just going to do it based on the Vrabel factor, and somehow he'd find a way to keep it close like a lot of these Titan games. But I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to go with the it's this week.
It's slim pickings this week, man. It's tough.
It's really, really hard.
I knew that about last week, though. I had a bad feeling about last week. I did.
I guess I'm going to go with I guess I'll take the over in the Bills-Giants game.
So much conviction.
Scratch that. I'm going to go against the wind. I know the wind is crazy. I know everyone's betting the under in the Bears-Vikings game, and it's down to 43.5. I know you're not supposed to go against the wind, and it's probably the wrong thing to do, but I just have a feeling that these teams' defenses are so bad that they still might give up a bunch of points. So I'm going to go over 43.5 in the Bears game. If the wind is not that bad, I think this game would be just, you know, flying over, because the Bears defense is just horrendous. And the Vikings defense is also horrendous, and they're both decent on offense. So I'm going to hope the wind doesn't get me and go with over 43.5, and maybe the correction for the wind is overblown a little bit, and we go over 43.5.
Bob Seger handicap.
Against the wind. We've been running against the wind. Nice job, Rufus. Rufus, that sounds like you're older than 37.
I had to show that I may not be that old, but I have a little bit of wisdom.
That's great.
By the way, Rufus, I listened to your Ben Meserich and Jeff podcast. It was very entertaining.
That was something, huh? That was something. That guy.
I've been into this whole SBF FTX thing, you know, trial that's going on, and the book with Michael Lewis, which, by the way, is, if you guys like reading, and if you like reading Michael Lewis, and this is not about who's right or who's wrong or whether he's whitewashed or anything, just from an entertainment factor, the guy writes books that are
so great.
Oh, he's a fantastic writer. But how is SBF being whitewashed? He is a white guy.
No. What I mean is, a lot of people are saying that Michael Lewis,
Jeff Ma was whitewashed.
No.
In the movie,
Jeff,
21.
Jeff Ma was whitewashed in 21. You know, he really was.
What I mean is, like, they're criticizing Michael Lewis, and they're saying that he's not saying SBF is guilty enough in the book. And that's not the way I read the book. But anyways, if you like that kind of stuff.
Right. I mean, I think Michael Lewis isn't a journalist. He's a writer. And I think he tells a really good story. And I'm sure it's a great book. But I do think he bought into the Kool-Aid a little bit. From his interviews, I mean, maybe he's just trying to sell books, but you know,
And I'm not making I'm not making a comment on that. You might be 100% right on that. All I'm saying is, it's so entertaining the way he writes a book.
Okay, as a story, if he's talking about like the business, because he's talking about how he was saying how there was a fundamental business that, and a lot of people kind of disagree. I'll say this: a lot of people smarter than me disagree.
That there was even a fundamental business, right? It was a whole...
The whole reason the exchange... Well, right, that's what Michael Lewis said. The whole reason the exchange worked was because of Alameda, actually, the capital.
Right, he's saying that Alameda...
Todd, let him finish the sentence. The whole reason what now? Say again?
Right. Well, FTX needed Alameda. I mean, people were taking advantage of Alameda. That's why how they were getting all the volume they did. I don't understand it perfectly, but...
I can explain what you're
saying.
What
he's
saying,
you're going to parrot what Michael Lewis said?
No. I'm going to say what your point is. Your point is that Alameda was making markets in a lot of tokens, and that's what made this. Here's the argument that you're making, and it's a good argument. Alameda was making markets in tokens to make the exchange have more liquidity, and that would bring more people onto the exchange in order to trade if there was more liquidity on there and people could trade in all these different tokens. So Alameda is taking the other side of these trades. And that's
what
you're
saying.
Very
bad at it.
Right.
And so that's why they were getting all this liquidity, because they were very bad at it. And so
I think
it's
that's
like a
true.
Sports book. It's like there's a sports book hanging really, really bad lines. We're all going to go bet there. It doesn't make it the best sports book. And if then, you know.
No, I agree with. No, one second. Definitely, certainly in 2019, 2020, and probably the beginning of 2021, that was 100% true. And Alameda did lend a tremendous amount of liquidity to the marketplace. But then by the end, they were only like 5% of the trades. So it's true that it wouldn't exist without Alameda. So that's true too. So
it wouldn't
exist
without all the money they had to pay Tom Brady and all these ridiculous endorsements and
God
they got right.
No, it's a tremendous mismanagement. No, but one second, Rufus. I'm not defending this SBF guy. He's a crook. He's 100% crook, and he's standing behind the movement, and he would even make. He even made excuses. I was following the trial. He said, it's okay if we steal from the customer accounts because we're doing the greater good for humanity. I mean, it's ridiculous nonsense, obviously. So I agree with you. SBF is a pro.
What's the name of the book? What's the name of the book, Todd?
Going Infinite.
Something Billions? What is it? Going Infinite, yeah.
Oh, Going Infinite, yeah.
Billion Infinite?
No, Going Infinite.
Going Infinite by Michael Lewis.
I was thinking about I was thinking about the Ben Mezrich book about Facebook. But yeah. you mentioned the Ben Mezrich interview, and it was the whole "What is truth" thing with Ben Mezrich, right?
Yeah, that was fantastic. It was really a good interview with Ben Mezrich. I love him. He actually wrote another book after Bringing Down the House, which was like about more sophisticated card counting that they used to do, which was unbelievable as well. But he didn't get the same traction for that one. I love that one.
I will say he did claim on Bet the Process that his book and the movie made Vegas happen. It brought Vegas back. That's what he said. And I was like, I don't think that.
I think Vegas
was there.
Yeah,
you didn't make Vegas happen.
Wow, what a gaudy claim that is.
And I thought the movie 21 wasn't even half as good as the book.
The movie sucked. The movie was awful.
It was horrible compared to the book.
The book was phenomenal.
I like all movies that take place in Vegas, but that's just me.
I thought it was like a bad episode of Las Vegas, the TV show. That's how bad that movie was.
Comparing it to the book.
Book was phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal. Yeah. Which Jeff Ma was obviously right in the middle of. By the way, I didn't do Rufus any justice. Not only do he and Jeff have the Bet the Process podcast where that Ben Mezrich episode can be found, but also he is half of the Massey Peabody Analytics team. And, of course, he's a co-founder of Unabated, which he does with our buddy Captain Jack and a host of others. You also appeared on a podcast, an Unabated podcast, which I thought was great the other day with Tom Viola. Give everybody who's unfamiliar with Unabated the 30-second elevator pitch, Rufus. What is Unabated?
I hadn't prepared this. Unabated provides
tools. Why do you make him do this, Gil?
Because I love to hear him stumble.
Yeah, okay. Unabated provides tools to help people be better bettors. We have an odds screen. We have tools to essentially let you figure out which bets are better in terms of derivatives and line shopping. And we have tools to let you quantify your own opinion for different things. So if you want to know the value of a half yard on a receiving yards prop, Todd, maybe you should check it out.
You did a great job. Unabated is awesome. Unabated is really, I think, is just a tremendous thing. If you are, forget it, you could be the most veteran gambler. But certainly if you're a new gambler also, like what a leg up.
I use it. Look,
yeah,
I saw like last night there was somebody had offered wanted to cross match me with the Florida International UTEP game, which the spread was 3 at that point, and I looked and I on Unabated day we have a really good college football injury stuff. I literally clicked the little icon on the side and it said from literally 5 minutes before that that they're UTEP quarterback was ruled out, and so I ended up passing on that bet, and I didn't make money that I would have made. But
the fourth string quarterback was Joe Montana.
Yeah. Right. But then I passed on a +3, and actually ended up moving to +4. So I would have been getting taken advantage of.
Did Ben Mezrich
unabated?
Also,
we don't let you get taken advantage of.
Unabated. There, this should be your motto. We don't let you get taken advantage of. I should be using it more, by the way. Ben Mezrich also claimed to invent the question mark. Like, what other things did he claim while he was on the show as well? He invented outlandish things. What is it? He invented the question mark.
By the way, regardless of his point about Vegas, his interview with Jeff and Rufus was fantastic.
I gotta watch that. Now I feel terrible.
I'm gonna admit something I've never admitted publicly.
Oh wow!
I've never read any of his. I've never read Bring Down the House.
Are you serious?
It's really entertaining.
Is that because you know Jeff personally and
Tell Jeff.
Oh, dude, it's a great book.
You'll enjoy it just from the. It's very enjoyable.
Sure I would.
Book.
Sure, I would.
Yeah, no, it's so great about how MIT concocted the team and how they operated. It's just phenomenal.
It's based on a true story too.
Did you read the Facebook book?
Okay. I didn't. I have not read any of his books, to be honest.
Oh, you should read that one too, because that one was that movie was actually better, like closer to the book as far as good. But that book was also very good. The Facebook book.
I did not read the Facebook book.
You would like it, Gilly.
I just like to say Facebook book. Yeah,
Gilly, you would like the Facebook book a lot. You should get that.
I would. There was a great one of the pandemic docs on Netflix about Facebook was just phenomenal, in the worst kind of way. Okay. Not last two questions yet. First, the cheeser.
Will has to give us third pick first.
Oh, yeah, Will, third. What do you got?
I'll go under. Give me 37 or 37 and a half in San Francisco, Cleveland.
I'd say 37. Looks 30. Well, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I am seeing 37.
That's what I'll I'm
go under. Yeah. Unabated has the unabated line under 37 minus 102 no vig. So actually, DraftKings has 37 and a half. So does FanDuel. So.
See what they try to do, Rufus? They try to screw me. I mean, this is what they do. I'll go under 37.
I will say Gil tried to screw himself because I took Baltimore minus four, and then he went and took Baltimore minus 4.5. And I was like, Gil, I haven't bet it. So yeah, I didn't move the line just by saying Baltimore minus four.
I just took a glance. You're right.
It's minus four.
Rufus
minus
moved the line just by uttering it. All right. So
the official numbers, I have it down as minus four.
Okay. So minus four. Thank you very much.
I think Gil should get minus 4.5, though.
Because he made an error. Not in my betting account yet, but I will bet that. Okay. So under 37.
Wait,
under 37, Will?
I think if Watson plays, they'll be super conservative. He's not going to be 100%. If he doesn't play, I just don't see how Cleveland scores more than, 10, 13 points. I guess you stumble into 10, 13 points against anybody. But and I think San Francisco, look, it's still a really good defense for Cleveland. I think San Francisco, knowing Cleveland won't be able to score, probably plays it a little more conservative than usual. So to me, this is like a 20 to 13 type of game. I'll go under here.
Yeah, the Browns announced that it would be P.J. Walker, not DTR, not Dorian Thompson-Robinson, if Deshaun Watson couldn't go. And then there's this weird thing where Deshaun Watson did not talk to the press in his regularly scheduled appearance yesterday. He will not talk to the press today. We do this Thursday, not scheduled to talk to the press. So I don't know what all that's about either. But anyway.
And apparently P.J. Walker said yesterday that I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right.
The Ravens played them 24-3 in the first half, and then it was 0-0 in the second half. So it could be very similar to that game.
P.J. Walker, of course, as we all know,
Panthers and Temple.
XFL?
No, the XFL. I was going to make a joke. I was going to say P.J. Walker. Didn't he play for one of the Washington teams in one of these leagues? No, maybe not. No, he played for the Houston Roughnecks. Oh, why did I thought he played for Washington. Anyway.
There was a Washington quarterback in the XFL.
Yeah.
I mean, of course they had a quarterback.
No, but I thought it was P.J. Walker.
Doug Williams. Yeah. Doug Williams was on the Houston Gamblers before he was on the Redskins.
Good team name.
Was he on the Houston Gamblers? Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
There were so many of those great Skins teams, they were all USFL players. Like Ricky Sanders was a Houston. Who was the team that Jim Kelly played for? I thought Jim Kelly was a Houston Gambler.
Yeah, Jim Kelly was Houston Gamblers. I think Doug Williams was also on one of those.
Ricky Sanders played for the Houston Gamblers. Kelvin Bryant played for the Philadelphia Stars. Gary Clark played for somebody too, I think. Can't remember who. Yeah.
USFL. But Gil, I need to know, do you refer to the Washington
football team?
What do you I'm probably going to get canceled for saying this, but I still call them the Redskins.
So this is a great thing.
I hate the name Commanders.
Well, I hate the Commanders and I use everything besides, right? Commodes, Commodores, Commandos, Commies. I refuse. I hate Commanders.
But when we text, sometimes I call them the Skins. You say Skins right back?
I say Skins all the time. I don't say the full Redskins, right? Because that to me is not to be said again. But since we're having the conversation, I don't want to dance around it, but I
think they should have kept the name and just changed the mascot to an Idaho Redskin potato.
Yeah.
I
think that Skins can be without the color modifier can be changed into some diversity kind of thing. I don't know what that has to do with Washington necessarily, but I think it can be done that way. I don't know what your logo is going to be. I always thought the team should be the Washington Power with like a fist. But nobody seems to like that.
What?
I think Washington football team might be the compromise in the end, going back to that, because I do think Josh Harris is gonna change it back to something. It won't be Commanders for long. But as far as...
Well, they being sued by other Native American groups for changing the name away from Redskins now?
I heard about that.
You can't win, right?
You can't win.
I mean, why don't they just call it what the city is, the Washington Dysfunctionals?
There you go.
That would... Perfect.
But to answer your question, though, having a podcast, having a show, it is an awkward dance, right? Because if you grow up on a team, it is such a part of you that for me not to say Skins would be so inauthentic But then you know Steve Zabin, who used to be the biggest Washington sports talk radio host. Steve Zabin, who was on other national
sports talk
ones
980.
Too. Yeah, Sports Talk 980. So Zabe, we were at dinner when he comes into town. We were hanging out, and I said to him that I don't say the full name. I say Skins, and he just hated that I did that. Like, he staunchly says the old name. And he just thought that was such a pussy move for me not to do that. And I was just like, I mean, I thought I was the one being, you know, oh, I'm being so risky still saying Skins. So I don't know. It's a tough thing, I guess, to answer your question, Rufus. It's awkward. It's never.
Isn't this just silliness?
It is silliness. And there's always an internal conversation in my head. Oh, here, I'm going to have to say it. What do I say?
But right. Like, me and you are the most in favor of everything for Native Americans or any other group that you could possibly want. But when you say Redskins, you say it with a term of affection.
Yes.
Now, granted, if those people don't want us to say Redskins anymore, fine. We won't say Redskins anymore. We'll call it another team name. But there's actual real problems in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And
for sure.
Probably real problems in the world with Native Americans. And changing the name of a football team is going to do zero for anyone.
Yeah.
Especially there's no malice when anyone's saying Redskins as saying Redskins or Indians or anything. It's like such silliness.
But, you know, I mean, it's a weird thing.
And you still have the Chiefs and the Braves, and they're still doing the...
Well, the Braves are still doing that, which is just unbelievable. And yet,
I'm like, how's that happening?
How's that allowed?
And yet, you don't. Redskins had to change their name.
And by the way, the Cleveland Guardians, formerly the Indians, their logo was the most offensive thing of anything, one could argue, their past logo. And it took them, like, you know how organizations go, like college football, we'll go to the 12-team playoff in 2024, whatever it is, right? They took them an extra year to get rid of that logo. Like, really, did you need a year to get rid of your logo because you wanted to monetize your whatever your new name was going to be? It's like... So anyway.
It took the Redskins 2 years to come up with the team name.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
They came up with Commanders.
The big reveal for Commanders, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What a joke.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, final two questions. No, teaser first.
What's the teaser?
Two-team, six-point teaser.
The teaser records, by the way. We didn't say the records at the beginning of the show.
Oh, please. Yes, gives us horrible records.
Philly's 7-8. That's not that bad.
7-8.
Willie's 6-9. That's pretty bad. Todd, just kidding. Todd, 7-6-2, and the guess is 7-7-1. And on the teaser world, Gilly is 2-3. Will is 3-2.
Oh,
I am 4-1, and the guest is 3-2 on the teasers.
Okay, your favorite two-leg six-point teaser this week, Rufus, would be.
So, actually, can I defer and have you guys go first? And
then, you sure can, Todd.
Okay,
Todd, what do you got?
I'll go with the Los Angeles Clippers plus the 8.5. Are they at 2.5 now?
Yeah. Yes. Uh huh.
Okay, so I'll go with the LACs plus 8.5. I just think that, you know, I was a little nervous taking them on the spread because it's the Chargers and the Cowboys just got wiped out 42-10. So I didn't want to take the Chargers, but I still don't. I mean, is there ever going to be a Charger game that lands outside of 8 in the history of the franchise?
Maybe not.
Probably not. They're probably going to play every single game down to the wire. And if you're a Charger fan, it's going to go one way or the other, and you're going to have a heart attack. So I'll take the LA Chargers for this one to come down to the end of the game again, plus 8.5. And on the other side, I'm going to take the Bears. What do I get for the Bears? 2, 8.5?
Yeah, 8.5. Bears, for the same reason, right? Like, Minnesota can't possibly beat you by more than 8.5, right?
It, Minnesota is just it's a ridiculous team. I mean, I took Minnesota +5 in the in-game last week. And as I was doing it, I was like, yeah, why don't we just top it off with another Kirk Cousins loser? And, you know, it's just a ridiculous team, the Minnesota Vikings. They're not good on defense at all. They're pretty good on offense. I don't see them beating anybody by 8.5. And the Bears are starting to show, you know, signs of life. So I'll pick the Bears +8.5.
I have the same exact teaser. I know on a numbers game this morning, because I don't want people are going to be like, wait a minute, you said Bears, Washington. I did say the Bears and the Washington taco holders as my favorite two-leg six-point teaser this morning. But I don't think the taco holders are as good or as let's put it this way. I feel like they could lose by 10 sooner than I could think that the Chargers would. So I'm going to amend that to the Vikings don't beat anybody by more than one score and the Chargers don't lose to anybody by more than one score. So I'm going to go Bears, Chargers as well. I'll amend that. Will Hill.
What can possibly go wrong? Chargers and Bears for me as well.
Oh, boy. That's so done. That teaser's never getting home.
No, on teasers, we are able to get home if we all take the same thing.
Oh.
On regular picks, we're not allowed. But on teasers, we have been able to get home when we all have the same teaser.
As written in the Megapod Constitution written in 1787.
According to the Constitution, if three people have the pick, then it will lose.
Yeah. Rufus, we're back to you.
Okay, back to me. I will go with, first off, I would say that I wouldn't tease these unless you're getting -120. And even then, I have Stanford, using the unabated teaser tool, actually, the Saints -7.5 to -1.5 is a +1.8%. That's the best tease leg at 6.2 team -120.
Wait, you're talking about the Texans +7.5? Okay.
No, San Francisco. Did I say the wrong?
You said the Saints.
San Francisco, yeah.
I thought you said the Saints.
Oh, did I say Saints?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so 49ers down to one, right? 1.5.
-1.5.
Right.
Obviously, you could shop around different books and get different things.
I actually like that too.
And then the other one, I'm struggling finding a second one that's actually good at that pricing. Chargers, you go +2.5 to +8.5. It's negative on its own, but overall that teaser is still a positive, it's still positive in aggregate. I was trying to see if I could find something better.
How about the Patriots? They're a good team. You want the Patriots? They're
oh yeah.
And by the way, they usually lose by less than 24 points typically.
How about the Patriots? They're good, Dave.
Actually, I think, I'm going to go Washington as my second leg there.
There
so the
go.
Washington leg, so overall, I have that. The 6.2 leg -120 is 1.57% ROI according to the unabated teaser tool.
Okay. A good unabated plug's in there too. Was I on Bet the Process after?
It's really, the teaser tool is very cool. You can literally just click the things and it auto-populates your edge there. And you could set your your sportsbook's rules, and it goes off of basically the market. It's using the market number. So if your book is offering you a point that's slightly off, for example, the line in the Washington game actually is the true no vig line is +2.5 +101, whereas San Francisco it's -7.5 +101. So if I'm then teasing San Francisco -8 to -2, for example, I don't think there's any book that has that, but it would factor that in terms of the edge on that particular leg. So,
man, unabated.com.
I would say they'll go for I think you're going to do better with three leg, 6 point teasers. I mean, you those at +160 are going to be, much better value there.
So the
two leg teasers just aren't there. The two leg six pointers are just not. There's not a lot of good prices out there anymore on those.
There really aren't. There's just as high as -150 in town, by the way, in some of these spots.
Put it this way: the implied edge of San Francisco teasing them -7.5 to -1.5 on a three leg. +160 pricing is 3.39%, where it was, I think I said it was just over 1% on a two leg -120.
Nice.
Is 6 point +160 very widely available?
I thought, yeah.
I think it still is out there a little bit. I don't know. I haven't really been looking too hard. I mean, I think early season teasers are going to be a little bit weaker also, just because there's more variance.
Let me see if I'm just going to plug in something here real quick. If I teased it.
Does the unabated, yeah. Here's a question I have, Gilly.
Bookmakers plus 150, I know, yeah.
Does the unabated machine take into account that referees have a tendency to call more fouls against a team winning by 15 than a team winning by 2? Because it seems to me that happens quite a lot in the National Football League.
You know, if that's reflected in how in the gameplay in the NFL, then yes, we do take it into account.
There you go. Ask a question, you get your answer. All right, final two questions then. Of the big favorites, which is the most likely, in your opinion, to lose outright? Kansas City's a 10.5 point favorite tonight, Thursday night, hosting the Denver Broncos. San Francisco, 7.5 point favorites on the road against the Cleveland Brownies. Dolphins, 13.5, some 14s, but 13.5 consensus hosting the Carolina Panthers. And, there's a bunch. Rams, 7-point favorites at home against the Cardinals. Eagles, 7-point favorites on the road against the Jets. And the Buffalo Bills, 14.5, hosting the Giants on Sunday Night Football. Rufus, one of those teams loses outright. Which is the most likely?
I mean, the Eagles are most likely to lose outright. But in terms of relative to the point spread, I would say Carolina. I know you love the Dolphins, but it feels, I mean, this is not a very quantitative take here, but it feels that Miami's they're more of a high variance team. And I expect Carolina to kind of get better. I think Frank Wright's a better coach than he has shown so far. They're a younger team. I don't know. I just have a feeling they put it together one of these games.
Wow. Okay. Didn't expect that answer.
Again, I'm not taking the money line, but that's not a quantitative take. But
you're not allowed to have non-quantitative takes, Rufus.
I'm not allowed to have feelings either.
No feelings from you.
Everything has to be rational, robotic.
That's right. No feelings. Dodd.
Rams. Where? I already said I on my pick because I just think that the Rams are not that vaunted that they should be giving 7 to anyone.
Will.
Be a little different. I'll say the Chiefs. I just think Kelsey beat up, short week, not great weapons. Maybe Denver can run in on him a little bit. I'll say Denver.
What about Taylor Swift? How's Taylor Swift this week?
Taylor Swift's a huge distraction, obviously. That's worth probably a point and a half, 2 points of the spread. So
is she coming to the game this week? Because last week there was no Swift at the game.
She's going to be there.
Yeah. Because my friend has a teenage daughter who now is watching football with him, and he's like, and I'm like, well, did she watch last week? He goes, of course not. Taylor wasn't at the game.
Well, of course not. Taylor wasn't at the game. I'm going to say it's the Eagles. I'm going to say the Eagles. Just because I think the Jets defense, maybe the Eagles aren't as good. I don't know. It seems like they're great when I watch them, but maybe they aren't. Maybe what Dr. Eric Eager was saying is correct. So I'm going to say the Jets defense, and then Zach does just enough. I don't feel I'm not very confident about that, but I'll go with that one. And then the last question. You live in a bizarro world. You must bet a side in each and every one of these games, but you're allowed one free pass on the side. One. Rufus, what's the game you want no part of?
Let's see. Washington. Atlanta.
Washington, Atlanta. Falcons, 2.5 point favorites. What's no part of that? Too volatile, both teams. Wrap your arms around either of these teams.
Boring game.
Boring game. Dodd.
I don't know. Maybe I don't really want to bet the whole week. Can I just take the whole week off?
Todd, you're not doing a Yinzer. You're not doing a Dolphin song. The people are going to be very upset with you.
I'm in such a bad mood that I can't do those things this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's been a real bummer the week. I guess I wouldn't play the Saints-Texans.
Saints-Texans. Will.
Bills, Giants. Bills just have too many injuries. I don't want any part of the Giants, though. So Bills, Giants, pretty easy pass for me. Interesting angle with Dable going back to Buffalo. So maybe he's got some familiarity with them, but feels
revenge
like Buffalo
spot.
Can name their score. But
it's a revenge spot is what it is.
For not making him the head coach? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll say Saints and the Texans as well. The Saints beat the Patriots 34-0. I don't know what that even means with how bad the Patriots are. And Mac Jones specifically in Houston. I think Houston's really good, but this will tell me a lot more about them. So this is a game that I would just sit back and watch. By the way, there's a lot of these. Like, I don't know that I'd want to play the Colts and the Jaguars either, to be quite honest. So, but I'll go Saints Texans. All right, boys, we've done all we can do. Appreciate it again. Rufus Peabody from Unabated, from the Bet the Process podcast, from Massey Peabody, from New York City, from Las Vegas, Nevada, wherever else he's got a place now. Thank you, Rufus. Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me on the pod as well.
Hey, thanks for having me, too. It's a good pod exchange.
It is. It's this exchange program that we're doing here. We'll start doing that every week. Todd Wishnet from his mom's Cork Attic. Todd, I'm with you, man. I hear what you're saying offline. It ain't a good time. It ain't a good time at all. But thank you for even showing up despite your lack of a Miami Dolphins song or a Yinzer accent. We'll let you off the hook this week. Now you say, cool.
Thank you, Gil. I just, this has been a very difficult week. In Memphis.
In very difficult week, say again?
In many, many ways.
In many, many ways. I agree. All right. Will Hill. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. It was fun. Thanks.
Let's go Phillies. Let's go Astros. Come on now. Close them out, Phillies.
By the way, the Phillies might win the World Series. They have the best starting.
Well, according to my bet, they will over the Astros. Hope it goes down that way. We'll see. Enjoy. Good luck with all your week six bets. I'm sorry, what? Oh, he says bye to Rufus in the middle of the close. Good luck with all your bets. Week six of the National Football League. Thanks for listening.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.